Blog Talk Radio.
The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is August the 21st, 2021, 8/21/2021, and it's a happy Saturday here in ATL. Little overcast, little drizzle here, little thunder and lightning and stuff. I don't know what the weather's like in your area, but I hope you're having a good day. You're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, you guys, I got to be honest with you. I didn't really have anything totally planned for this show today. There's just been so much going on all week. And I just, honestly, I literally just walked in the door maybe 10, 15 minutes ago, maybe 20 minutes ago or so. And I had downloaded a bunch of music, right? But I hadn't transferred it over to Blog Talk to play on the show. So for the last 20 minutes or so, I've been transferring, and I just finished up. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, I haven't even put together the show, because see, when you do these shows, you got to go in the Blog Talk and you have to put in your title of your show. I mean, there's a bunch of stuff you got to fill in before you can actually create the show. Otherwise, it won't do it. All right. I know one time I made the mistake and I put less time than the time I wanted to use. But, just been rushing. But there are some things I want to talk about, and it's open forums, open conversation. And speaking of open, let me go ahead and open up the chat room for you folks that are listening on the Internet. Don't forget, you can always go to the chat room. Just take a moment to sign up. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead and post them there. and will we read them on the air? So as I quickly open the chat room to 10 minutes. What's going on here now? Here we go. Let's get it right. Welcome to TMGS. Here we go. And okay, let me back up. Got to have the G there. GS. There we go. All right, so now the chat room is open for any questions or comments. But, yeah, I was looking at some things, and I said, well, what do I want to talk about, you know, today? Unfortunately, some of our co-hosts will not be able to make it to today's show. They had prior engagements. But we'll see. Some might drop by still if they have time. But I spoke to one of them, and they said that they'll be by momentarily. And what I wanted to get into is this whole Taliban, or I should say Afghanistan, situation. Wow. Happened faster than what they thought. But let me just read a little bit of this for you. And as I do that, I'm going to monitor the other screen, too. But according to CNN, and this is what the headline says, rifles, Humvees, and millions of rounds of ammo. Taliban celebrate their new American arsenal. ISIS terror threat forces U.S. military to establish alternate routes to Kabul airport. Analysis, Biden's reassurance on Afghanistan contradict chaotic images on the ground, capping a week of bad optics for his administration. Let's see. Let me get to the top story here, though. Okay, here we go. This should okay, so U.S. announces new destinations for evacuees as Kabul airport confusion. Let me scroll down to the story. Okay, so chaotic scenes played out at Kabul airport again on Friday. Wait a minute, what is that? Where's that sound coming from?
We're happy to help. We started
buying Charmin Super Mega Roll. Oh, come on, man. I don't need that on. There we go. Thank you. I don't want to hear about Charmin Super Mega Roll. All right, let me try again. Chaotic scenes played out at Kabul Airport again on Friday as thousands desperate to leave Afghanistan sought to reach evacuation flights. A backlog developed as the U.S. briefly ran out of places to fly them, and President Joe Biden pledged to Americans trapped in the country that he will get them out. As the United States continued its scramble to secure the Hamid Karzai International Airport and evacuate U.S. citizens and vulnerable Afghans, U.S. officials announced a major expansion of the countries that will help transit or temporarily host people fleeing the Taliban, and the Pentagon revealed there had been a dramatic helicopter rescue of American citizens stranded at a hotel. Biden, meanwhile, warned the evacuation operation continues to be perilous and its outcome uncertain, but said that the U.S., quote, will do everything we can to provide safe evacuation. Quote, any American who wants to come home, we will get you home, Biden said in an address at the White House on Friday. The president also extended that promise to Afghan translators who risked their lives to help U.S. troops and diplomats operate on the ground over the 20-year U.S. presence in Afghanistan. There's nothing more important than bringing American citizens out, Biden said. I acknowledge that, but they're equally important almost as all those SIV special immigrant visas. We call them who, in fact, helped us. They were translators. They were in the battle with us. They were part of the operation. Biden laced his assurance with a sober note of caution as reports continue to emerge of the Taliban beating and threatening people, including Americans, trying to make their way to the airport. Let's see here. Now, this isn't a good situation. Of course not. So, I'll throw that out there and see what you guys think about it. Chime in. And speaking of chiming in, I'm going to go ahead and have Timon Time and Chip chime in. What's up, my brother, Time and?
What's going on there, Mike? The Mike?
Another day in paradise. Yeah, I got you.
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, Mike, this situation is what it is. I mean, it's not, you know, because Trump was in there earlier, and him and, you know, they cut a deal with the Taliban without the Afghan president being there. And so whatever deal
right.
they cut is what we got. Now, I never thought that those people would ever want to embrace democracy in their country. So I'm not shocked that those soldiers laid down their guns. Because a lot of those cats, you know, that's why they, I mean, you just can't drop democracy everywhere you go. Everybody don't want to do, like, you know, we show up in their country and say, oh, this is the American way. Y'all don't want to be like Americans. They're going to tell you, oh, hell no, we don't. This is what I want to do. I won't be no American. Now, you may like the nice cars. You may want to, but you don't want to give up your livelihood. Now, some do that have been exposed, and some don't. All right? Also, you got that drug money back there, too. They got a huge poppy situation there with all that, them drugs that come up out of Afghanistan. You know, and so you also got, so I'm not surprised. You ain't going to go over there and tell them what they're going to do with their women. Now, even what they do to women is cold-blooded, you know, but you can't make them get, you know, they don't look at women the same way we look at women. You know, they don't
right.
believe a woman should, you know, should be going to school. She don't deserve to have no knowledge. Her main objective is to push out, is to let me screw your brains out and give you, and make babies and shut up. And they marry their women at 13.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they break, and so you can't go over there and tell that dude, hey, man, this is what y'all going to do. No, they ain't. They ain't going to do it.
Nah. And here's the thing is this is the same country that Russia battled with.
Oh, kick Russia's ass. Kick Russia's ass. Send
this
them back again.
It's the same country that, right. So if Russia couldn't do it, we've been over there 20 years. And just
Biden
like you said, yeah. But now a lot of folks are getting by. No, go ahead.
Man, come on, it's sloppy. Okay, you did it sloppy. All right, it wasn't gonna be perfect, no way. But who would you rather be handling this, Trump or Biden? I don't want nothing. I don't even want to see another after when they get through putting all the information out about Trump. They're gonna open up a whole new deal, man. They're gonna have a whole new deal when they show what this cat did, because he make Nixon look like a choir boy. This boy, when they get through finding out what Trump did and all the shit he in them 4 years, So I'd rather, hey, I don't care what's going down, leave Biden there. Okay, it wasn't gonna be a clean sweep, no way. I don't care if it had been Obama, Bush, or any of them. It wouldn't have been done right. Wouldn't have been done right, so I'm not worried about it.
Well, I was looking at a clip of Sean Hannity, and just the way he did that on his show the other night. And you know, everybody says, "Oh, you don't listen to everything. You listen to this one thing." No, I listen to everything. I try to, and get those. I just looked at how he. Of course, he's gonna say. Well, this is all Biden's fault. And then they're saying he needs to resign. You know, he needs to be out of there. Come on now. There's a lot of presidents who made bad mistakes or errors. But then again, like you said, there was a deal in place already.
But Mike, what deal? What has he done wrong? Okay, so the people rushed the place, and it wasn't Biden's fault that those people put their arms down. They had 300,000 soldiers. Who were trained by Americans. And they said, the hell with y'all. We ain't fighting them. They're my brothers. I ain't fighting them. They put their guns down. I'm telling you, they didn't want nothing. They couldn't wait for America to leave. They wanted to go back to what they were doing. They wanted that.
And
okay?
And that's a good point because, well, see, that makes me think even, you know, like I said, you think about the fact that Russia tried it and failed horribly. You think about Tiananmen Square when they wanted to try to bring democracy to China. And, you know, this wasn't, you know, white and black or whatever, or, you know, this was civil war. Basically, this is Chinese against Chinese. But you see who won out. It wasn't the, you know, it didn't turn to a democracy, you know. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what you just said. Right. These are their brothers, you know. I mean, imagine.
You know, the difference with yeah.
No, I'm not saying, but just imagine, you know, what it was like if it was in Civil War where one brother believed in, you know, the South and the other one believed in the North, and they're both brothers fighting each other. It's the same thing that's happening here. And as you
right.
said, you know, all the money that has been spent to train these men and all these years, and like you said, they didn't stand up to hell. The president left the country, you know. So you knew that was it. And I knew, just like you said, I knew that once that happened, the Taliban was going to come right back. You know, you just knew it.
Think about it. They you went to their country and bombed
mm-hmm.
them. Okay, you know what makes them so dangerous, Mike? Is that they don't care about dying. They don't
right.
They don't care about dying. They I don't care. You can talk to a 15-year-old over there. They ain't worried about dying. Dying is nothing to them. But there's oil over there. They got a lot of minerals over there. They know it. And America and all other countries know it. That's why we're going to send Britain over there and, you know, we're going to get our little allies and everything. And we're going to go and we're going to pluck everybody out, okay? And it ain't gonna be real pretty, and you know, human, you know, it ain't gonna be perfect, but it'll get done. It's
mm-hmm.
gonna get done. Everybody's gonna get out. Taliban don't want to fight nobody. They want to go back to what they let them have their country back, man. We didn't do what we gonna do to it. We did the same thing in Iraq. Same thing.
Right.
Same thing. You know, we went over to Libya and messed around in Libya, killed Gaddafi. And look at that. Libya ain't doing shit. You know,
yeah.
The only country doing real well is Israel. Because we backed them. Been backing them since they built that country. You know, but hey, you know, but when people say, oh, man, you know, they do this to their women, hey, then you need to leave. Because them women should have been trying to be the first ones smoking to get up out of their country. For hundreds and thousands of years, they can trace it all.
Yeah.
They can trace their lineage all the way back, man. Those people ain't changing. Some of them might. They might get a little bit of modern, whatever. But they really don't change. You know, they really don't. They still wiping their butt with their fingers. Yeah, they don't. They don't. They ain't changing for you. Trying to introduce them to toilet paper. They don't know what that is. Your women
yeah.
have to wear these long gowns and stuff. They can't even bathe. They can't even shave their armpits.
Yeah,
they can't bathe.
That's
they,
true.
You know, they can't shave their armpits. I mean, I don't even think I would want that much control over a woman, Mike. I know I ain't that
yeah.
smart, Mike. I'm not that smart. I don't want a dumb woman. Why would you want a woman that all she can do is screw and cook?
Yeah.
That's it?
That's true.
I don't want a fool, man. Whatever you think is right, babe. Whatever you want to do is right, babe. No. I need to look, if you're gonna be there, I need to use your brain too. If we gonna make
right.
it. I don't want a fool. You know, you don't want
it's
them
just
to
like,
bring.
It's just like coming to America, right? Whatever
right.
you like. whatever you like.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what it is. It's the whatever you like, kind of music you like, whatever you like. Yeah, that would drive me crazy. You know,
yeah,
that's just like...
Yeah, a lot of guys, Mike, I was at my cigar lounge and a couple of cats was upset because the girl walked by in these little tight shorts, right? Oh, man, women shouldn't be wearing that, man. What you represent, right? I said, why are you worried about what she's wearing? You get to wear whatever the hell you want. Basically, what you're saying, she can't do what she want to do. And that's your issue. That's her body. And you're mad because you can't just go do what you want to do with that body. You need to have self-control. And a lot of cats don't have self-control. You know, you my woman. You my, you know. Uh-uh. That's why I always tell them, Mike, some of them don't deserve to have sex because they're driving crazy. You know, guys killing their girlfriends and killing their wives. And I'm like, come on, man, just leave. What is all this? Just leave. But they don't want to do it. Now you sitting up in jail like that dude out there that was that QAnon cat, killed his kids because the QAnon told him to do it. I'm like, come on, man.
Let me run this by real quick. But let me run this by real quick. This article I'm looking at, it says the U.S. spent, which we already know, spent 20 years in Afghanistan only to have its mission end in failure. In a CNN interview with Khalid Hosseini asked, what was all this for? Analysis why Americans may ultimately not care about Biden's Afghanistan performance. ISIS terrorist threat forces U.S. military to establish alternate routes to Kabul. Okay, so let me pull up that story. Where is it at? This should be it here. I don't know why, but my desktop has been acting up quite a bit lately, and I don't know why. I might need to put it in the shop. Let me see if I can pull it up through this link here. Okay, so it goes on to say, that a new AP, oh, come on, that top. A new AP NORAD poll shows President Joe Biden's approval rating on foreign policy has
every
fallen. Why does it keep doing that?
Hold on.
Yeah, this is getting annoying. It keeps throwing me a pop-up. I know what the problem is. All right, so his policy, his foreign policy, has fallen to 47%, while his approval rating stands at 51. It's the first time in his presidency that Biden's approval rating on foreign policy is below his disapproval rating. The poll comes as other surveys indicate that Biden's overall job approval rating is continuing its month-long decline and has dropped below 50 for the first time in his presidency. What's the point? Americans have given their initial reaction to how Biden handled the U.S. troop withdrawal from Afghanistan, and it seems to be negative. Whether or not it seems that way is yet to be seen. The events of last week demonstrate that how Americans see a politician's leadership still matters, even on an issue where most Americans may agree with him. But history says we should be very cautious in predicting too far into the future how these events will ultimately dictate the rest of Biden's presidency. And then it goes on to say, a month ago, it was difficult to imagine Americans turning against Biden on Afghanistan. A clear majority, 55% of Americans approved of the job Biden was doing, with concern to troop withdrawal in Afghanistan in a late July ABC News poll. An even larger 62% indicated that they approved of the decision to withdraw all troops from Afghanistan in May. Indeed, most of the polling we have currently shows that Americans are still in favor of Americans leaving Afghanistan. Only a little more than a third of Americans, 35%, said in the AP poll that the war in Afghanistan was worth fighting. What's your thoughts on that? Nothing's changed, really. It's gone back to what it was. So, but people feel like it was worth fighting.
Mike, we were going to leave. They said we were going to leave. how can my approval rate be going down? All you're doing is removing, you're closing up shop and you're removing the people out of the country. Okay, like I said, it wasn't done perfectly, but it's going to get done. All right, he's only been in office since January. January, he ain't been in before. You gave the orange man. The orange man came out the box lying. So I am not really worried about the American public after I've seen what they did by putting Trump in office and how they've dealt with the rest of the insurrection and everything else. Whoever those people are, they need to shut up because they didn't say nothing about the insurrection. They didn't say nothing about, oh, when they get through finding out what Trump has done. And as far as I'm concerned, hey, once we get, we're going to eventually get everybody out. The Afghan people, like I said, it ain't done perfectly. They're going to be mad at us anyway for going in there. We were there for 20 years. It didn't work out. Okay, now, what did we accomplish? Okay, I don't even know what to tell you what we accomplished. Okay, because you all of a sudden, things going back to the way it was. And they knew that. Just like when they went over and messed around in Iraq and they didn't know what a Shia and Sunni was. Type of Muslim that those people had beat. They didn't know that, but Bush then went over there anyway and blew it up.
So now let me back up for a minute here, and I got a caller on the board. I'm going to open up their mic in a moment. So 816-715, hold tight for a minute. But let's back up, like you said, you know, as we were speaking, you know, the thing's going to change. What did we originally go to Afghanistan for? Looking for Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, Osama bin Laden.
I'm sorry. Huh? Say that again?
It was still connected to 9/11 and Osama bin Laden.
Right, but that was the initial reason why we went there, right? Find him in the mountains and this and that and the other. But, you know, and we all saw videos of where they have intelligence saying that he's here, he's there, and then we almost had him in this and that and the other. That went on for a while. But you see where we got him at in Pakistan, right?
Right.
So that was the initial reason. But remember, we turned our eye from Afghanistan and started dealing with Iraq for the weapons of mass destruction, correct? So we took our eye off the ball for a minute. Yeah, we still had military there. But as I said, Russia went over there and didn't have any luck, you know, when they tried to fight with them. And 20 years later, we're finding out it's not going to do any good, you know, staying over there. Let me open up this mic here and see what this is. 816-715. I'm going to open up your mic. Welcome to the show. You have a question or comment?
No, I don't have a comment. I'm just calling in to listen because that's what good co-hosts do.
I didn't recognize. I apologize. Hey, Cotton.
Hey, everybody. How are you?
Hey. Good. How are you?
Doing good. You know, I was saying
I'm listening to this Afghanistan stuff.
Yeah, I said at the very start that it's been a real hectic and crazy week for me. When I just got back home, I came home and it was like 20 minutes before, about 30 minutes before the show was supposed to start, and I had uploaded a bunch of music to my computer, but I didn't transfer it over to the board, you know, to Blog Talk, and I was just rushing. I just clicked in and I was like, you know, I really hadn't scheduled anything to really, really talk about, and I said, well, this is something to talk about. But later on, and I thought about to take up the last hour, I want to go ahead and I put together a tribute, a music tribute. I like doing this, but I want to do a music tribute to Alexander O'Neill. That should be interesting. I went through a bunch of his stuff, and I'm like, wow, this brother was really awesome. And thank God he's still performing. I saw where him and Sherelle were together not too long ago. Performing, but yeah, we're going to get into that and just do a tribute of that later on. But back to the topic at hand. But like I said, so now we're leaving Afghanistan. We have to protect the people who helped the military you know, doing the translations or whatever, and all the things that they did for the military. But the question was, what was this all for? So let me see here. I had this up. I had something else up here. Okay, so as I was going to go on reading what I was looking at, it says Biden seems to be losing support not because troop withdrawal is an unpopular position. Rather, Biden is losing support because of the way he's doing the job. History suggests that Americans' reaction to Biden was far from unavoidable, even if they didn't like the result. How Americans viewed the North Vietnamese taking control of Saigon in 1975 is instructive in understanding the shifting political winds today. Time and let's see, Yankovic, Skelly, and White polling in 1975 indicated that 50% of Americans had a lot of concern about what happened, and another 33% were at least a little concerned. Americans, though, didn't blame Gerald Ford, the president at the time. In fact, 59% said he deserved none of the blame at all. Just 2% said he deserved most of blame of any other president who led the country during its involvement in Vietnam. Ford's overall approval rating didn't drop, unlike Biden's. The difference in how Americans react to the fall of Kabul compared to the fall of Saigon is astounding in some ways. Both the Vietnam War and the war in Afghanistan started long before the president who ordered the final troop withdrawals ever took office. Americans wanted to get out of both countries. They just seemed to think that Biden was far more at fault for the recent developments in Afghanistan than Ford was for what happened in Vietnam in 1975. Of course, how Americans saw Ford's Vietnam performance didn't predict the 1976 election. Ford lost that race to Jimmy Carter. The fact that a foreign policy event in 1975 didn't tell us much about the 1976 election isn't surprising when looking at history. Let me see, there's another question. Arguably, the most successful war of the last 2 years was the Persian Gulf War during George W. Bush's presidency. Bush's performance was rated extremely high by the American people in 1991. Some pundits at the time went so far to say that Bush reelected himself thanks to the war. Bush lost reelection in 1992 to Bill Clinton. On the other end, Ronald Reagan sent American troops to Lebanon in the early 1980s as peacemakers. Hundreds were killed in a bombing, and Reagan later withdrew the troops. By early 1984, more than 60% of the Americans viewed the Reagan policy as a failure. Reagan easily won re-election later that year. Now, isn't that funny? You see what I just read? So Bush was what, you know, I mean, they just cheered Bush for how he handled the Gulf War, but he wasn't re-elected.
Right.
Reagan failed.
Right.
The policy as a failure in Lebanon. Americans viewed it as a failure, but Reagan easily won re-election later that year. That's interesting. And here's the last section. The point here is that the American public often has a short memory when it comes to foreign policy endeavors. The recent developments in Afghanistan that have hurt Biden in the polls may still be hurting him come the midterms in 2022 or presidential election in 2024. They could just as easily have no impact at all. Anybody want to chime in on that one? That's interesting.
Yeah, well, I think his I wouldn't worry about his approval. The man's only been in office for 6 months. They need to get off their approval thing. They like the toilet. He had to rebuild the CDC. He's had to rebuild everything. Trump lied about half the stuff that he did when they came in. You got to go and hire inspector generals to go behind this man. He dismantled the DOJ. I'm not worried about that, his approval rating. He's doing just fine for what he's got to work with and how he's trying to get things on track. I think it's great. I'm not worried about it at all. I don't know what they're expecting, but presidents are not perfect. Even Obama did not do that issue. Hell, they didn't want Obama to wear a tan suit. And Jody wore two or three tan suits. Obama wore one, and they went crazy. Fox News
Oh yeah, the tan suit.
Yeah, Biden wore a tan suit.
And they showed a bunch of different presidents with tan suits in the Oval Office. Reagan had on one, and that's what's so crazy. It's like you guys, before you report this, you got to go back and look at some photographs. But it's easy to find. It's so easy to find. You know, it's crazy. All right, so actually today is open forum day. If there's something else that you guys or something that you want to bring to the table, and I want to mention that I looked and I realized this is month 11. This is month 11 that we've been on the air since we left the other network. So next month will be a full year. And so hopefully we'll have a good day, have a chance to celebrate one whole full year. So I thank you guys so much for a year. You know, doing 50 shows was great, but a whole year of shows is awesome, and I really appreciate all of you guys so much. I'm looking forward to us being able to all get together for that show. All right, so the floor is yours. Is there something that anyone wants to just anything, any questions or any topic you want to go around the table and see what everybody's response is?
Does it have to be about Afghanistan?
Does it have to be about what now?
Afghanistan.
No.
I just wanted to say this because I was thinking about it, and I know we talked about this before on the show, but I just had to bring up this Bill Cosby and R. Kelly thing. And, you know, everybody feels some type of way about it, everybody, but I feel like this. If, and I'm not saying that they're not guilty, but what I'm saying is if they'd done these horrible things, as you say, there was somebody would have some type of video, audio, text message, something, some type of proof to say, hey, yeah, this did happen at some point. Somebody, of all these people, nobody has any proof whatsoever. That really just doesn't make sense to me because people always got their phones out. People are always texting. And I know that a lot of what happened with Bill Cosby, most of that stuff happened well before cell phones took place, but then some of it supposedly happened after cell phones. So with all the technology, especially when it first comes out, people don't know what they're doing. You got to have something. I'm going to tell you right now, I save everything. I screenshot and I save it to my computer, especially when people be talking crazy to me or they saying stuff that I don't agree with or I don't approve of, I should say. I'm screenshotting. Let me hold on to this because I might need this one day. I don't know. So that's what I wanted to say on that. So I'm not saying that they're innocent totally, but what I'm saying is if that happened, why isn't there any type of evidence, DNA, something, a hair follicle, a text message, because nobody's perfect in their crime. There's always
Well, you know what? Well, I'm I'll let Timon respond first. Timon, what's your response to that?
Oh, well, the guy that they busted in Louisiana – who was doing all that, putting the stuff in people's drinks? They didn't really have any DNA on him. What they did have is that, you know, and he was a sportscaster, and he was, you know, handsome guy. But where I'm making the comparison is Bill had already been to court, and he had a track record, and he had as well as R. Kelly. But other people came forward to go after R. Kelly. And these are black people that went after R. Kelly. These are all people out of his circle that are going after R. Kelly. And Bill Cosby, that word had been out for him for a while. Now, he had beat his first case when they came at him. And it was the same woman who got over $2 million from him but kept going back to his house. And then after, you know, but once social media got hold of it, they crucified him. Social media really took him down. And Howard Stern. Howard Stern put that stuff out. Hannibal Buress became a star behind that. you know. And I'm still always wondering, why would you put yourself in that position when you that powerful? Just like Harvey Weinstein. You know, Harvey going to do 30 years. He ain't ever getting out of jail. And by the time he get out, he'll be dead anyway. It's good. I'm glad Bill got what he got, you know. But like you said, they don't have any definite proof that he did it. And you can't get him for double jeopardy. That's why they let him out. Because the guy had already stated that, hey, you know, man's been to court. He's innocent. That was I think that was one of those Republican judges that went after him and got him.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know what? Let me just chime in for a minute here. Like Tommy just said, with the Bill Cosby thing, that was a double jeopardy. Because once you, it's just like whenever you make a plea deal, you know, it's like which I'm sure you know, many cases where, you know, they always say that, well, you're an accessory to the crime, or you don't have to pull the trigger to be involved in a murder. If you help conspire, if you were with the person and this and the other, because I know some stories of some cats who were doing life in prison. You know, they didn't kill the person that they robbed or the store clerk or whatever the case may be. But they were involved. They knew what was going on, but they're not the trigger man. Well, that's the same thing. That's double jeopardy. If they go to one person and say, well, look, we're going to give you a deal. Your partner, he's going to definitely get life. But if you testify against him, we'll give you 15 years. And it's almost the same thing with Bill Cosby. If you just do this deposition, we promise we're not going to prosecute you and put you in jail. So that's plea bargaining, right? But now R. Kelly, on the other hand, R. Kelly pretty much did an O.J. Simpson. He did an O.J. Simpson. When he got cleared from the first accusation, what did he do? He got back out there and did some stupid shit again, right? It's the same thing as O.J. Simpson. You got off for a double murder, but now you're going to go rob somebody at a casino in Las Vegas, and you don't think they're going to throw the book at your ass as much as they can? And R. Kelly, the same thing. You got off for child rape and sex action and molestation, the whole gamut. You got off, but now you're going to go back out there and do it again? And you're a celebrity. They're going, all eyes are on you.
Right.
And you see where R. Kelly is now. Now, and when you look at the two different times of when that happened to, as they say, what happened to with Bill Cosby, two different eras and the allegations that were out there already, and it's a totally different era when that happened. And it's sad that it had to come from way back then all the way up to today for them to put him in double jeopardy and then let him go. But R. Kelly, right now, with the video cameras, and then you're going to videotape yourself, too. That's just stupid on top of stupid. So I believe R. Kelly definitely did it. I can't say for sure with Bill, because like you said, all these people came forward, and some lied. Some were proven to be liars. I think I mentioned it before on the show, where a girl claimed that he raped her at the Playboy Mansion. It was proof he was nowhere near L.A. at the time. He was in New York, had documentation to prove it. So go ahead.
But see, that's my – in lieu of what you both just said about basically – those women knew what Bill Cosby was doing, and they said nothing right away. They said nothing right away. So you knew that this is what he was doing. You knew what R. Kelly was doing. So there, for me, for how I feel about it, this is just my how I feel about it. I don't know if about anybody else. I feel like this as a woman, if I know that the child molester lives right next door, and I know that he's a child molester, and I don't say nothing, I should be held accountable for not saying them, and I see kids coming out of his house all the time. But I don't say nothing. but I let it happen to somebody else, knowing that it happened to my kid by that same person, and they didn't end up getting locked up because of for whatever reason. But I didn't say nothing. That's how I feel about these particular situations, because those people that were in R. Kelly's camp, they knew what he was doing. If that's what he was doing, allegedly, if that's what he was doing, those young girls also knew that they had no business with a grown-ass man. My mother made sure I didn't want no grown man talking to me. I'm 16. You 30. You 25. You 21. You can't talk to me. And when you try to talk to me, I'm going to tell you I'm 15. Get away from me. When I tell you I'm 15, let me keep walking. I don't care if you are, I don't care if you Jesus and you're trying to talk to me. Everybody needs to be held accountable is all I'm saying. If you're going to go after them, everybody else that was involved and knew what was taking place, because some of those people who sent their kids to R. Kelly knew already from his past, but they sent them there anyway because they wanted the money. And they didn't care about selling their kids off for that dollar. That's all I'm saying. But somebody should have some proof, some in a text message, a picture, or something to say, yes, this did take place. Yes, I do have proof. Out of all the 20-plus people or 15, how many ever girls it was, one of them had a cell phone because they were contacting their family. They were on social media. They were utilizing the internet. But nobody said nothing. Not one person. Not
you're
one.
Speaking of, but you're speaking of the R. Kelly thing, right?
Yes. Well, there was a woman
who claimed that he molested her or raped her in Alabama, I believe in Birmingham, after the show. And allegedly, there was no video of the actual rape, but allegedly there was someone who had a video camera of out in the parking lot, you know, of him coming up. And I'm not sure if she's in the video, but I understand that there's supposed to be a video out of because the way she told the story, she knew exactly, she said the name of the location of where he was staying and the room and everything, the number. Now, I guess you can always get information of where a person is staying, but for her to give detail, you know, of everything, is, you know, unless you got a friend that works there, or unless you stayed at that hotel before, I don't know. But she knew the exact location, what room, everything, you know, the detail of the room. I kind of feel like she was there.
I had Johnny Gill's security walk me upstairs to his room. True story. They said, hey, you want to meet Johnny Gill? I said, absolutely. I was in Vegas. They walked me upstairs. Security takes me upstairs. Johnny Gill ain't there. Guess what I do? Oh, no, I'm not staying here. I got to go. I'm not doing this. But I could tell you what the room looked like because I was there.
Right. You went in, but then you left. Mm-hmm.
I absolutely left. So it was probably two other security guards in that room when I went in there, but Johnny Gill was not in that room.
I can tell you
what that room looked like, and I'm just making a point that sometimes people say things because they don't get their way. If I was a bitter type of young lady, at the time I was over 30, but if I was a bitter type of person, I would have said some things to get Johnny Gill in. They wouldn't care if there was security guards. They're going to blame Johnny Gill. Mm-hmm. I'm just making a point. I'm not saying the young lady was lying. I'm just saying I could tell you what Johnny Gill's room looked like because I was in there. But Johnny Gill didn't know I was in there. I'm just saying.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you said that because you look at some of these stars in every field, not just in music, but you look at like even Floyd Mayweather. You got that huge home in Vegas. You look at Justin Bieber. A lot of these folks have people in their house, and sometimes they don't even know that they're in their house. You ever realize
exactly.
that? They might let a friend of them. They might let one of their friends give a party or whatever, and they might be out of town. And something can go down while they're out of town, or they come back that night, and they haven't even met the person, but the person can make an allegation and say, "Oh, I was at Justin Bieber's house, and he and I was at Mayweather's house, and he and so and so, or his friends and them, you know," and they don't know nothing about it. They know that they let their friend party at their house. But I've seen that many a times. There was some program where Floyd Mayweather was showing his house, and he had said, "Yeah, a friend of mine's having a party, you know, and this, that, and the other." And you see people walking by like they're in the mall, you know. It's like,
right.
Okay. So
no
situations.
Big deal to it happens. It definitely happens. So, you know. And I'm not saying that she's not telling the truth. What I'm saying is there's so many different scenarios that could have put her in the place of knowing what that room looked like. Like when we talked about the young man from the Steve Harvey show, when he told the girl she was too young for him to date, she got upset and told her cousin or her uncle or somebody, and then they came back and shot the man, and now he's dead because of her lie. Now they all three in jail because of it. So I just want people to care. That's all I'm saying. Like, look at both sides, because women lie a lot about those types of things. They lie a lot, especially when they get pissed off and you don't give them their way. Especially if they get pissed off and you with another woman. Especially if they get pissed off and you tell them you don't want them no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
well,
unfortunately,
yeah, that's true.
Our ladies aren't the saints that they used to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's pretty much true in a lot of ways. But you know, it gets to be too late, you know. Once you go and tell a lie, and somebody takes it in their own hands.
But I also, with what Tom said, that the celebrity folks need not to be putting themselves in those positions either, like. You know, you make, like when Kobe put himself in that position, but he never did it again because he learned his lesson once. But the rest of them, you know, it's like, come on, you're a celebrity. You can't be just out here willy-nilly with just anybody.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
yeah,
very
you
true.
You can't do that. Yeah, you better have your ducks in a row or you're gonna cancel Christmas. You're going to be done. And they will ruin your. You know that one rapper said something about gay people, right? They shutting down.
Oh,
you start losing shows left and right.
Who was that?
Lord.
What was his name?
The baby? Was it the baby?
I think so.
One of them rappers.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything that we all weren't thinking, but they didn't like it.
Nope. Like, they going after Lizzo right now.
Yep,
you know,
they sure are.
They going after who?
Yeah. Lizzo.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like with her especially, somebody should have went after her a long time ago. Because they allow her to do anything she wants to on social media. And nobody says anything. But if somebody else does the exact same thing that she's doing, they'll shut their page down.
Well, you know what bothers me about her is when she came to the Laker game and she had all her butt out.
Yes.
She had, you know.
Exactly.
I was like,
yeah.
Exactly.
I was like, come on now. We get it. I get it. You know, you're a pretty girl.
Yes.
You ain't got to do all that. Why are you going to have
exactly.
to wear a
Nobody,
all your
people's
boys, wow.
kids are here. Somebody's kid is at this Laker game. What are you doing?
And she bent over and did it on purpose. And I was like, you would be, if I was the owner, because, you know, you ain't coming back. You suspended for a while.
She would have been escorted out of the arena, you know.
Oh, they did?
I mean.
They took her out?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They told she had to go.
Yeah,
you did it on national TV. You embarrassing us. You trying to make this
right.
Lizzo show, and now we ain't thinking about Lakers. We thinking about your behind.
Mm-hmm. And that was the topic. It wasn't about who won the game. And by the way, you know, and they tell you the whole story and all of a sudden, and by the way, the Lakers won 121 to 119. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you no highlights. Yeah. That was the highlight. You know, that, yeah. But that's you know, that's just sad of when people want to get attention so bad and will do anything for attention, you know.
But that's what social media did, Mike. Social media gave people platforms. People who would never, you ain't ever even heard of, they got a platform now to be a fool. That's why I told my sister all the time, freedom ain't for everybody.
Nope.
I'm thinking, freedom ain't, because that means you're free to be an idiot. And you got a platform
they're abusing,
to be an idiot.
They're abusing it. Yep,
yep,
they're abusing the privilege.
They sure are. I want to be seen. You know, I need to get some attention. And then they don't understand that you're handing people your life, especially like the guy who did the bomb threat down in Washington, D.C. He put it on camera and everything, videoed himself. And, yeah, video yourself on your way to prison.
Right. There should be some kind of guidelines, but they quick to I get my page. They'll take something off my page that I'm just sharing somebody's music, and I'll get like, oh, you can't play that. But it's okay for this girl to have her butt all over the place. Don't nobody want to see that. We don't. I don't want to see little Nas X kissing no another man. I don't want to see that. I don't. Like,
watch,
tell
watch
me
out
it's
out
about
guy.
To be explicit.
Watch out, guy. You mess with the game. You going over the game. Can't do that.
And that's the other thing. It's like what you're telling me is I don't have a choice anymore. I got to see this. I don't want to see that. Like, if that show, and this is the thing that I have with some gay people, they want to be treated equal, but they keep acting different. You're not acting like a regular person. You're acting like you want the attention of a gay person. So you're telling me treat you differently because you're gay. That's what you're saying to me. You're not saying treat me regular because I'm a person. That's not what you're saying to me, but these antics that you're doing. Because if I'm surprised BET even let that happen on their show. I'm like,
BET want that gay money too. Now you know that the gays bring about, you know, good $50 billion into the American economy. So you know they want that money. That's why you get in trouble if you say something about it. Because financially.
That's
they come. Have you seen that HIV commercial? And they show them two brothers on their kissing.
Right.
Yeah. I always tell the guys at the lounge, hey, turn your head. What's that? Here it comes. What's that? They been doing it. Oh, man, I just ate.
You got no cheese on.
Hey, yeah, I'll see you.
Okay. It got quiet there for a minute. I thought everybody got shut off. Okay.
I think that was, let's see.
Okay, Cotton's still on the board. I don't know if she muted herself. I'm not sure. Okay. I'm trying to find something here.
I'm sorry. I'm still here, you guys.
Okay. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. That you put yourself on mute. Oh, darn it. I can't find it anymore. Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking for something, and I just can't seem to locate it. All right, so I saw that clip with what's his name, Lil Nas and Kid, and then I saw that video that he did, and I don't know, that was just too deep for me. I was like, okay, I don't think I want to watch that again. And it's not about being gay, but it's just the satanic aspect of the video, you know what I mean? It was too satanic.
Right.
I'm like, come on. And that's the thing when you say attention. Yeah, it went too far with the Satan type thing, and you know, yeah, that's going a bit too far. And now, I mean, you have the right to do whatever you want to. You have the right to do whatever you want. You know,
I tell you what, one of the smartest things he ever did. was to put a rap with a country song. I tell you, that's what sound. I mean, and it sold. I didn't have to even know about him being gay, but the fact that here it is, a black dude said, "Hey man, we should take this rap," and you use Billy Ray Cyrus to tell, and you revamped Billy Ray Cyrus' career behind that song.
Who really introduced country to black people? It wasn't Charlie Pride, because black people didn't listen to Charlie Pride. You'll never guess who it was.
Who was it? Lionel Richie?
Yep. You got it. Sail on down
Sail
the line.
On.
Just a half a mile or so. Put you. He sure did. Lionel Richie. Doesn't matter. I was like, damn, that's hella country. And we would sway to it. So that was the Commodore. That was Lionel Richie. You know, that was our first dose of R&B country. So it was.
And now,
so,
three of the top country singers are black. Two brothers and a sister.
Three of the top?
Yeah. Three of the top country singers right now. You got a dude named Kane. He's biracial. That one sister, I think, who won the... who was at the CMT Awards. And then there's another brother. He's also a top country singer. He got cooler sound. Sound like something off Hee Haw. Yeah, he do. Or Charlie Pride.
Something off of Hee Haw, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that brother can sing, man. Yeah. I was like, oh, my. Yeah,
you know, and I like some country
artists.
You know, I like some country songs of some country artists. You know, my dad used to listen to it. He didn't listen to it all the time, but it really surprised me one day. This was when he got in his 70s. And one day he came by and got in the truck, and he had it on a country western station. I'm like, "You listen to country?" He said, "Yeah, sometimes I do." He said, "Some of their songs make a lot of damn sense." I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
Yep, I said.
But
it'd be so simple. I ate a peanut butter sandwich, and then I got up, and she came in the room, and I thought she was beautiful, and it just be the simplest stuff. You're like, the peanut butter sandwich made you feel all of that? Okay.
Yeah.
What was his name? David Allen Cole.
The mumble rap is going on right now. No, I can't do
oh,
the
Lord.
Mumble rap.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was this one country artist named David Allen Cole, and I don't know. I'll listen to some of his stuff, and some of his stuff sounds real racist as hell. But anyway, but he had one song that I liked. It was so comical, called "You Never Even Called Me By My Name." And just the opening line of that song when he says, "Well, I was drunk the day my mama got out of prison." I cracked up when I first heard that line. I said, "The day who got out of prison? The day my mama got out of prison. He was drunk." And the song goes on. And just like you said, they just, you know, some of the stories are just, you can, you know, visualize what they're singing. And I just cried laughing when I listened to that song. But anyway. All right. So at the time is now 7:04 p.m. It's open forum today. Just whatever you got on your mind that you want to talk about, just go ahead and get into it. In a moment, we're going to do a tribute to Alexander O'Neill. But before I do get into his songs, and by the way, you guys, the majority of the songs are going to be off of his debut album, Hearsay. I'm sorry, that wasn't his debut. That was his second album, right? I believe the Alexander O'Neill album was Innocent was his debut album, and then the debut album, then the Hearsay album, sorry, came out, and all the work by Jimmy Jam and Terry Miller, and I was just really impressed with his work. Prior to me playing those songs, I found a couple of tracks. You remember the group Solo?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
remember them? I found a track called Blowing My Mind, and I never really paid attention to this track, but it's really good. And then, what's his name? Nathan what's Nathan's last name? Nathan from Boys of Men, Nathan Morris, did a song, and it's funny when I listen to it and hear the song that he took the melody from. He took it from an old rock song. So, you know, let me go ahead and get it started because the time is 7:05, so this is going to take a little bit of time. Tommy, you going to be able to hang with us for a little bit, or you have to catch on out?
I have another gig to do.
Okay, my brother. Well, I truly appreciate
you. Yeah,
matter of fact, coming
and I'm going to a birthday party for Cedric's manager. Cedric Entertainment's manager
okay.
having a party, so, yeah.
Oh, Cedric? Okay. Hey, it's funny that
yeah.
you said that because I just watched the video on him the night before last. I sure did. It was funny. I like how Cedric does his comedy. And he goes into a lot of the music styles and the different, you know, groups and everything. So I love watching him do his performances. So thank you, my brother, for coming through this Saturday. Next Saturday, look forward to seeing you here again. All right, man.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
All right. God bless. All right. That's Time and Chip out in Los Angeles, California. Appreciate him stopping by. Let's see. Okay, so you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, on our open discussion Saturday. We went through a few things regarding Afghanistan, and then co-host Campbell had some questions about the Bill Cosby and the R. Kelly cases, and how come there's not any video evidence? Well, we understand it pretty much about the Bill Cosby era. But the R. Kelly, there was some. There's no camera phone, but R. Kelly was fool enough to videotape himself and got out of it, but then stupid enough to get back into doing the same old thing again. But, you know, people, just because you're a very genius in music doesn't mean that you're a genius in crime. All right, so let me go ahead and get into the music. Before we get into Alexander O'Neill, I'm going to play this one by Nathan Morris, and I like this cut, and I'm trying to remember where this music came from. I know the song, but you're listening to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Here's Nathan Morris with Wishes.
Show me where I ought to be.
welcome back to the TMGS. At the top of that two-set play, the first song you heard was by Nathan Morris, vocalist with the group Boys to Men. And the song was called Wishes. And he took that music from a group called Buffalo Springfield. They had a song called For What It's Worth. You guys probably remember, Stop, Children, What's That Sound? Everybody Look What's Going Down. Yeah, it came from that. And then it sounded like that little background came from a song called Cherish, which, you know, some of you guys might be too young to remember those type of songs. And that was Nathan Morris. It was on his Kazam album, which was released in 1996. Right after that, that was Solo from the album Stay Reminiscing, and that track was called Blow in My Mind, and that was released in 2002. Interesting, right? Okay, like I promised you, well, we're going to just do a quick tribute the rest of the hour with some music by Alexander O'Neill. I'm going to pull up the story. I'm going to Google it and see, but as most of you know, Alexander O'Neill was supposed to be really the original, or was supposed to have been the vocalist, the lead vocalist, for the time. But unfortunately, according to some stories from some of the members of the time, Alex kind of blew the meeting with Prince. And Prince was like, nah. Alex could have chilled out, you know, and he would have been the leader of the time. But fortunately, it worked out for everyone involved because we managed to get Morris Day as the lead, the you know, charismatic Morris Day, and then Alex was able to become the great solo artist. So let me just get it started here. Before we get into everything, let me just go ahead and start with Alexander O'Neill and Sherelle, or should I say Sherelle and Alexander O'Neill. And since it's Saturday, let's check out some Saturday Love. We'll be right back.
in jail. Woo, party time, man. Hey, T, what's going on, man? I see y'all brought my main man, Popeye, with you. We came to party a little bit, huh? Jerome, what's happening? Jelly Bean. Hey, man, I'm glad y'all could make it, bro. Woo-hoo. I think it's going to be kind of right. Look at the ladies. Girl, girl, girl. Woo. I tell you, this is Alexander O'Neal's party. When I say you got the party, you got the party. Wait a minute, baby.
No, I didn't. Right, I thought so. Well, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but girl, you wouldn't believe what I heard.
Oh, what did you hear?
Let me tell you, there was a party last Saturday night. You know, everybody was there, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, supposedly he tried to hit on that girl, Kim.
Yeah.
He was all over her.
Oh, I should have known something was wrong when he didn't call to confirm our date, and he never showed up. Can you believe that?
Hey, you know how men are.
I just thought things would be different this time.
Hey, that's what you get for thinking.
Oh,
let me
no.
tell you, because you cannot trust a man anywhere.
Wait till
I don't know what to
see
tell
him.
You.
I'm going to kill him.
I mean, well, look, just don't say I said anything, because,
no,
I mean, I'm not the one
that
gossips. I'm not the gossipy type, but I just wanted you to know, just so that you would be aware.
Come here, girlfriend. Spreading all my name all over town.
Because the lies that the
Welcome back to the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. The time is now 7:39. We got a little bit more than 20 minutes. I'm going to try to get through as many of these tracks as I can. Give a little tribute to Mr. Alexander O'Neill. And as promised, I'm going to give you a little background story on Alex. So Alexander O'Neill was born November 15, 1953, in Natchez, Mississippi, United States, just a few months after his father died. After graduating from high school in Natchez, he attended Alcorn State University. At the age of 20, he relocated to Minneapolis, where he performed with several bands, including the Mystics and Wind Chimes. He became a member of Enterprise for a brief period before joining Flight Time, a band which included Monty Moore, Jimmy Jam, and Terry Lewis. O'Neill released his debut album, The Penniless Alexander O'Neill, The Infamous, I don't know why I pronounced the T, but The Infamous Alexander O'Neill in 1985. Since then, he has released 9 studio albums, 6 compilations albums, and 2 live albums. In his early career, according to Jimmy Jam, in 1980 and 1981, O'Neill, along with fellow members of the band Flight Time, met with Prince and Morris Day at Perkins Restaurant in Minneapolis to discuss forming a band that would be called The Time. That would be signed to Prince under Warner Brothers' label. Following a disagreement with Prince, O'Neill was replaced as lead singer by Morris Day. O'Neill subsequently formed the R&B band called Alexander and recorded a couple 12 singles, Do You Dare, Playroom, and Attitude, for a Chicago-area independent label based in Merrillville, Indiana, called Erect Records. In 1984, O'Neill signed a deal with Clarence Avant's Taboo Records. He did some backing vocals for other artists on the same label, including the SOS Band and Sherelle. In 1985, O'Neill released his self-titled album, or debut album, under the production of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, as well as Monty Moore. It included 3 singles that reached the top 20 of the R&B singles chart. The same year, he also scored his first R&B top 10 single with Saturday Love, a duet, duet with Sherelle from her High Priority album. The song peaked at number 2 on the R&B chart and number 26 on the pop chart, while also beginning a string of UK hit singles for O'Neill by peaking at number 6 on the UK singles chart in early 1986. This UK success continued when If You Were Here Tonight, which had previously peaked at number 81, re-entered the charts to reach number 13 in March of 1986. In 1987, O'Neill released the album Hearsay, which was certified gold in the U.S. and yielded his biggest U.S. hit in Fake, which topped the R&B chart and reached number 25 on the pop chart. The song also peaked at number 7 on the Billboard dance chart. The follow-up single, Criticized, peaked at number 4 on the R&B chart and number 70 on the pop chart. The third single, Never Knew Love Like This, another duet with Sherelle, peaked at number 2 on the R&B chart and number 28 on the pop chart. However, by this time, O'Neill was enjoying much greater success in the UK, where Hearsay peaked at number 4 on the UK albums chart, eventually being certified triple platinum and spawning 6 top 40 hits on the UK singles chart. The most successful of these gave O'Neill his biggest UK hit when Criticized peaked at number 4 on the chart in late 1987. It would later be featured in the 2008 video game Grand Theft Auto. Fake will become a UK top 40 hit twice, first in 1987, followed by a remix, Fake 88, in 1988. The hit mix, a mega mix of O'Neill's greatest hits to date, also reached the UK top 20 in December of 1989. In December of 1988, O'Neill released a Christmas album, My Gift to You, featuring a cover of a Christmas song that reached the UK top 40. And that's a little background on Alexander O'Neill and his history. Alexander O'Neill is still performing. In fact, I saw a clip of him and Sherelle together not too long ago, just recently. So he's still performing, still doing his thing. But there you have it, a little background on Alexander O'Neill. And, you know, he could have been the leader of the time, but, you know, it worked out for everybody. We got a chance to meet Morris Day and his antics and his style of music with the time. And then we got to have Alexander O'Neill as a solo artist. So everybody, it worked out for the best, right? All right, so let's get back to more music. We have about another 16 minutes. Like I said, I'm going to try to squeeze in as many songs as possible, as I possibly can. But most of these songs are off the Hearsay album since it went triple platinum. And right now, let's get back to the party. Here's Fake.
Oh, baby, you done spilled wine on my $40 shirt.
You ought to move out the way.
Out the way?
You heard me.
You don't know me.
Hey, I'll go get my friend Alex, and he'll throw all you out.
All right.
You old low life.
You all right, Pop? No, man, that's my shirt up, man.
Maybe if she took out them color contacts, she could see where she was going.
Somebody needs to talk about her. Why, you big chameleon? She's wet. Go down, dirty. Can I get some nasty bass? Gonna be kinda right tonight. Fellas, we're gonna talk about a girl who's late, huh? Fellas, can I get you to put your hands together for that? Yeah.
nice suit you have on. Why'd you wear that suit? Yeah, that's cute. Terrible. Like and look at your hair. You didn't even right.
Did you just wake up or something?
And look at this party. I invite my friends, and you got these weak men around here. And wait, and what are you doing inviting her to the party? You know I don't like her.
Yeah.
Look, she can't even dress either. You guys actually make a good pair. Golly, I swear. Every single time. You know, I'm fed up with this, Allie.
TMGS, that's Alexander O'Neill's Criticized from the Hearsay album. I think I got room for one more track before we get on out of here. You're listening to a tribute to Alexander O'Neill. I want to thank my co-host, Cotton Campbell, and also Time and Chip for joining us in the first hour. So let me see if I can find this here. The board is acting a little crazy today, so I apologize for any delays. But that's just what happens, you know, when you try to upload music and you're trying to find it, you can't find it. But without further ado, I'm not going to have time for it. I'm sorry. Yep, I'm not going to have time for it. I apologize. So we'll get back to it probably next week and play a few more. I'm going to upload some more songs for next week. And next week, I hope you guys will join us. We'll be broadcasting live again from the ATL Atlanta, Georgia. Want to thank you guys again. Today is the 21st, 2021, and enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. Have a beautiful, blessed Sunday. Have a great work week, and we'll talk to you next week. All right. Take care. Good night.